Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk.
Well, in a set of events that surprises absolutely no one, the Oklahoma Sooners have punched their ticket to make it to the championship round of the Women's College World Series. Oklahoma dominating UCLA 15-0 in the second game on Monday afternoon. Now, you do have to give the Bruins a little bit of credit here for making this somewhat interesting by taking the first game. And that's where if you're a kind of person who kind of scrolls through social media looking for a way to criticize, because isn't that what we do as fans? We can't just take all the good. We gotta find some bad somewhere in all this. And that's where you're going to find it, in that first game, where the decision to start Nicole May really was a decision that backfired, costing Oklahoma that first game. But let's just stop and pause for a second. And can we, before we really jump into this conversation, can we not admit that Patty Gasso knows so much more about the intricacies, the ins and outs of college softball than you and I ever will? And there's always a method to her madness, so to speak. That's why she's the greatest softball coach in Oklahoma history and one of the greatest softball coaches in the world of all time. But that said, you're going to find a lot of discussion on the decision to start Nicole May against UCLA. And I do understand. And here's my attempt to try to explain this. And I'm going to preface this by saying, I do believe Gasso's plan worked. It worked what she wanted to do. She really wanted to kind of keep Hope Trotwine in her back pocket. Now, don't forget, when these two teams met in February, it was Jordy Ball who led Oklahoma to victory over UCLA. What was that, February 12th, when Oklahoma played in that Invitational out in Irvine, California, right? It was Jordy Ball, and that was kind of her coming out party. And so the Bruins had seen Jordy Ball. And you've got Jordy Ball coming back from an injury. You're not really for sure how she's going to respond in this situation. She is a true freshman. This is the biggest stage of the biggest stage in college softball. And you got to kind of win to get in, right? But you got two things going for you if you're Patty Gasso. The first thing that you have going for you is the decision to keep Hope Trotwine back. The second thing you got going for you is that UCLA has to beat you twice. And so, knowing that they've already faced Jordy Ball, so there was a scouting report on her, knowing that Jordy Ball is working her way back from injury, it's kind of a no-brainer to start Nicole May. And if it backfires, you get to come back and play them a second time. They've got to beat you twice. And that's something that people just don't do. Teams don't beat Oklahoma twice. So it didn't work with Nicole May. But here's what you gain from that. Here's what you learn. Jordy Ball looks healthy. I mean, she threw well. She had her spunk. She had her fire. She had her stare down. She had her swagger. She looked like the Jordy Ball of old. She looked like the Jordy Ball that we saw that began that Bedlam series before she got injured. And so that's positive news for Oklahoma fans as this championship series looms. But then you come back with Hope Trotwine, who UCLA had not seen this season and is a better pitcher than Nicole May. And Hope Trotwine just dominated the Bruins lineup in that second game. And there's a lot to celebrate about the way Oklahoma beat UCLA in that second game. I mean, Jocelyn Allo is the queen of college softball, and she will be the queen of college softball for a long, long time. And all she did was add to her legacy in this game. Two home runs, one of them a grand slam, 4-for-4 from the plate, 7 RBI, ties the Women's College World Series records on the RBI. But in all of that, don't overlook just how dominant Hope Trotwine was against a UCLA lineup that had been pretty good. Don't forget, UCLA sent Florida home via run rule. UCLA looked really good against Oklahoma in that first game on Monday. But then Hope Trotwine comes around and completely shuts the Bruins down. So now you've got a move into the championship series in which you're thinking, a lot of people are going with, hey, it's got to be Hope Trotwine. It's got to be Hope Trotwine. And I don't know that I disagree with that. But I do think Jordy Ball becomes a huge factor in this championship series. I think that's ultimately what Patty was trying to do. I think ultimately Patty Gasso was trying to save Jordy Ball for whoever they would face in the championship series. And don't forget, she really kind of had her way with Oklahoma State earlier in the season in that Bedlam series. Of course, obviously she didn't pitch in the Big 12 tournament. So what do you do if you're Patty Gasso? Do you ride the hot hand and Hope Trotwine? Or do you throw Jordy Ball back out there, knowing that she looks like she's as close to 100% as she's going to get before the end of the season? And that's a pretty good conundrum to have. I think really it depends on, to me, I think it depends here's what I'm going to say. I think what you're going to see here is one, you're going to see two pitchers. You're going to see one start. You're going to see one do game two, and then you save whoever starts game one for game three. I think they're going to approach this very much in the same manner as what they did with this UCLA series, knowing that someone's got to beat them twice. So I think you see how game one goes. But I don't know that we're going to see Nicole May have any significant minutes the rest of this season, knowing what we saw from Jordy Ball, knowing what we saw from Hope Trotwine, and the fact that this team has Monday off. Well, both teams have Monday off, but the fact that they have Monday off, I mean, Hope Trotwine can come back well-rested. I say Monday, they have Tuesday off, sorry. Hope Trotwine can come back well-rested on Wednesday to start this series. Jordy Ball, nursing that injury, could come back well-rested to start this series on Wednesday. So it's going to be an interesting decision on what Patty does. But I do think whichever direction she goes, whoever starts game one would be in line to start game three. Now, can we talk about the Big 12 for just a minute? I know we're going to break down this championship series, and I'm really excited about it, and you should be excited about it as well. But can we just talk about how good the Big 12 is? Do you remember when the announcement was made and the pairings were set and the teams came out? You had the 64 teams, you got your regionals all set, you got your hosts, you got your national seeds. And don't forget, Texas wasn't a national seed. But everyone's talking about how good the Big Ten was. Everyone's talking about how good the ACC was. A couple of tips of the hat to the SEC. But there was the Big 12, just three teams. Big 12 just got three teams in. Two teams were going to host. Texas had to go on the road. But not only did the three Big 12 teams, not only did they win their regionals, not only did they win the Super Regional, not only did they qualify for the Women's College World Series, but three of the final four teams standing in the Women's College World Series were from the Big 12. Now you can have an all Big 12 championship series. I think it's time to acknowledge that this was the best softball conference in America. And that brings up the question when you talk about teams that were very, very close, teams that were very, very close to getting into the NCAA tournament, but they didn't make it, bubble teams. I think Iowa State, I think now we can 100% say Iowa State got jobbed. Don't forget the Final Four in the Big 12 tournament was Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, and Iowa State. And then you get to the Final Four of the Women's College World Series, and there's Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Texas still standing in the national tournament. So I think if there's someone who said, yeah, we probably got jobbed, it's Iowa State. But Baylor as well. There's no way. When you look at how strong this conference performed in the postseason, When you look at 75% of the Final Four was the Big 12. When you look at the national, the championship series is going to be an all Big 12 affair. You're telling me you don't think Iowa State could have made some noise in this tournament? You're telling me you don't think Baylor could have made some noise in this tournament? When you look at exactly how good Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Texas are, these are three of the four best teams remaining in the nation. Three of the four best teams in the country. And that means on your schedule, that's a guaranteed, on your schedule, that's a guaranteed 5-9 losses in conference play. And so I think because of that, the conference slate is probably a little bit skewed. But here we go. Championship series. All Big 12. Let's get after it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so before we break down this Oklahoma-Texas matchup, I do need to say something about Mike White because I have been super critical of the guy since he came to Texas, since he left Oregon to come to the University of Texas. And really, a lot of that stems from the progress that Oklahoma State made under Kenny Gajewski and the fact that Texas paid Mike White a boatload of money in terms of softball salaries for coaches to come to the Big 12 and to compete with Pat Egasso. And Kenny Gajewski was doing that way better than Mike White had done at Texas. And really, I brought up to the point that I felt like Kenny Gajewski and Oklahoma State had become what Texas had desired to become under Mike White. Now you can take that entire argument and you can throw it out the window because not only is Mike White in the championship series for the very first time ever in his career, but he took out Oklahoma State to get there and did it in convincing fashion, winning two games on Monday. Now you've got the Red River rivalry in the championship series of the Big 12, but of the Women's College World Series. And I think Texas is getting their money's worth out of it. They're getting what they paid for now in Mike White. And the argument that I had thrown out there for the last three seasons, going back to 2020, before that season got canceled, is that that argument's null and void now because I think Mike White has proved his merit. I think he has Texas where he wanted them to be and where the Longhorns wanted them to be, and it just took him a little bit longer than people expected to get there. But now you got to think about pressure. Now you got to think about when you break down this matchup between the Sooners and the Longhorns. This isn't just, a Big 12 series. This isn't a Big 12 championship series. This is the Red River rivalry on a national championship level, and it's all about pressure at this point. And I think here's where Oklahoma has its first advantage in this championship series, because you've got a guy in Mike White who's finally arrived. I mean, he's finally gotten Texas on that platform that they wanted to be on. He's accomplished something with the Longhorns that he never accomplished at Oregon. But he's fighting a legend now in Pat Egasso. They say in this part of the country, this ain't my first rodeo. Well, it is Mike White's first rodeo, but it is a long way from Pat Egasso's first rodeo in this championship series. And so not only are you there for the first time, but you're there for the first time against the defending national champions, the team that has gone wire to wire number one in the nation. So there's pressure there. And then there's pressure because it's Oklahoma. I mean, you take away the defending national champion, you take away the wire-to-wire number one team in the country, and just put the logos on the field, there's pressure. But that pressure gets amplified because why did Texas have to win twice on Monday? because Oklahoma sent them into the loser's bracket. So these two teams have already faced each other. They've already played each other on this stage, in this stadium, at this level. And Texas lost, and lost rather convincingly to the University of Oklahoma. And so because it's your first time there, and because you're playing the defending national champions, because you're playing your nemesis, your arch rival, and because it's the team that puts you into the loser's bracket, I think when you look at pressure, the advantage is on Oklahoma's side. And I've said all that about Mike White. And it's true, okay? So I don't want to take away from that. But pressure is what cost Oklahoma State their shot at a national championship. The reason this is Oklahoma, Texas, and not Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, the reason it's Red River rivalry and not Bedlam, is because Oklahoma State in that fifth inning just completely buckled under pressure. And now you're going to amp that up even more. And I think that's probably an advantage that would, maybe you'd see that in game one. I don't know that it'll be there for game two, but maybe in game one, maybe that's where Oklahoma can just jump out and take advantage of a mistake or two that Texas may throw out there. But let's talk about Oklahoma's hitting versus the Texas pitching, because I think here comes another advantage for the Sooners. Oklahoma seemed to have cracked the code against Haley Dulcini Saturday, racking up, what is it, 5 runs against her in that game. Texas put 3 pitchers in the circle. All 3 pitchers gave up at least 1 run. Dulcini giving up 5. You know, the Sophia Simpson girl, you know, she became the internet sensation, the meme, with her reaction to T.R.A. Jennings' home run that was hit off of her. But the point is, when you look at Texas pitching versus Oklahoma hitting, I don't know that the advantage for Texas is in Dulcini as much as, and when I say advantage, I think probably a better word is opportunity, or, you know, their best chance. Maybe that's pretty much what we're getting at. I don't know that it's in Dulcini, but if you're Mike White, you have to throw her. I mean, you're going to go into maybe a 3-game series, if it's the best of 3, and there's no way you're getting through. And the same thing for Oklahoma. You're not getting through a 3-game series with just 1 pitcher. So I think if I'm Mike White in game 1, I'm starting Estelle Cech. And the reason why is because Oklahoma didn't see her on Saturday. They saw Dulcini. And I know Dulcini came in and kind of was the hero in that second game against Oklahoma State on Monday night. But the reality is, I think Oklahoma's fresh on her right now. And so I think Cech is who you've got to crack the code with against now if you're JT Gasso. And that's why I would expect them to lead with her and see where that takes them. Now, if you flip the script there and put Oklahoma's pitchers in the circle, I was kind of alluding to this earlier in the podcast. I think if it was Oklahoma State, then you go with Jordy Ball. But now that it's Texas, I'm not throwing Jordy Ball on Wednesday night. I'm going with Hope Trotwine, and here's why. She just went 7 innings against Texas on Saturday, and she gave up 2 runs. Yeah, she was on the hook for 2 runs, but it ended up being a 7-2 win for Oklahoma. And you know what? When you look at the stat line, it's not heavy in strikeouts. So she was pitching for contact and let the defense back her up. So if this is a situation where, look, you're trying, like Jordy Ball, you know, Jordy Ball is gonna throw strikeouts. And if it's a situation where you're trying just to rack up strikeouts, and then they finally start touching you, typically that turns south in a hurry. And that's what happened with Dulcini Saturday against Oklahoma's lineup. They started touching her, and then it went south. You saw the same thing with Oklahoma against UCLA on Monday in that second game. Once they cracked that code, and there's nobody better in the business than JT Gasso at cracking that code. But once they get there, once Oklahoma gets there, it's lights out. Well, Texas was hitting off of Hope Chatwan, but they weren't getting on base. So it's the way she's pitching them into ground outs, into pop flies, and that kind of stuff. And that's so much more difficult to adjust to than a strikeout pitcher. So I would expect Patty Gasso to go with Hope Chatwan in game one, maybe bring in Jordy Ball as a closer. If she's going to try to do both pitchers, you know, like Hope get two shots through the lineup, and then you bring in Jordy for a change of pace. Or you could go the traditional Hope Chatwan game one, Jordy Ball game two. And if you needed a game three, go back to Hope Chatwan. But that's how I would expect this pitcher's lineup to go for both schools. Again, both schools are going to have to throw two pitchers. I think if you're Oklahoma, and we've already talked about this, I think barring a special circumstance like in a game three, then Nicole May is probably out for this series, just because look what they did last year. They rode Gisele Juarez all the way to the championship once they got to this point. And so I think Patty's probably going to tighten the reins on her pitchers, as opposed to, like, you know, throw more people out there just for experience. At this point, you don't need experience. You need to win. And as much as, you know, we appreciate what Nicole May did, again, I'm backtracking here, but there's a clear difference in what Hope Chatwan brings to the circle, what Jordy Ball brings to the circle, and what Nicole May brings to the circle. And when you're looking at the healthy Jordy Ball now, I just don't see it in the cards right now for Nicole May, barring something unforeseen. So that leaves really what the advantage is going to come down to, and this is the no-duh, have an obvious statement here. It's going to come down to pitching versus hitting, and that could go either way, but you got at this point, how can you not give that advantage to Oklahoma?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oklahoma and Texas are the top two hitting teams in the Big 12. The Sooners with 370 team average, Texas coming in just over 300 at 307. But when you start breaking that down individually, the top two percentage batters in the Big 12 are on Oklahoma's roster. I mean, they're in the lineup. Jocelyn Alla, who is just tearing up the Women's College World Series in her final ever appearance there. Jocelyn is on the season now. She's hitting .510 on the season, just a ridiculous 32 home runs, 82 RBIs, and then right behind her is Jada Coleman at .432. Guess who's number four? Grace Lyons at .407, and then number six, Tierra Jennings at .390. Number seven, Riley Boone, .390. Number nine, Alyssa Brito at .371, and so when you round out the top 10 batters in the Big 12, you got Jocelyn Alla at number two, Jocelyn Alla at number one, Jada Coleman at number two, Grace Lyons at number four, Tiari Jennings at number six, Riley Boone number seven, and then Alyssa Brito at number nine. There's only two Texas batters in the top 10, and I'm just talking Big 12 only, because this is a Big 12 of affair, right? So that in itself, again, we're talking about advantage. We're talking about where can Oklahoma find themselves in an advantageous situation over Texas? Here is one right here, a big one. We already talked about cracking the code. And if they can do this, what they did to Dulcini, if they can do that against Czech, I mean, look, there's too much talent. Patty Gasso said it. You've heard the ESPN announcers say it. You've heard other opponents say it. This is a very deep, powerful, high percentage hitting team. I mean, Riley Boone, number 7 in the Big 12. She's a bottom of the order batter. Alyssa Brito, number 9 in the Big 12. She's a bottom of the order batter. Grace Lyons is a middle of the order batter. I'm trying to throw a bone to Texas. But you do realize also that the top 4 home run hitters in the Big 12 are in Oklahoma's lineup. When you throw in Tari Jennings, she's number 2 behind Jocelyn Hollow. And we've seen her power in Oklahoma City. So your top 4 home run hitters in the Big 12 are Jocelyn Hollow with 32, Tari Jennings with 26, Grace Lyons with 22, and then Alyssa Brito at 14. You got to go all the way down to number 8 to find Courtney Day from Texas with 12. So percentage, or I guess average instead of percentage, but batting average, power average, everything seems to be favoring the University of Oklahoma in this matchup. And maybe the thing that we haven't talked about enough is that Texas has to beat Oklahoma twice. I know Oklahoma has to beat Texas twice as well. I get that. But you're looking at two teams that have played each other 4 times this season. And in those 4 games, Oklahoma's 3-1. And they've got to do something that really no one has been able to do. I mean, you beat Oklahoma once, and I said this last year about this team. If you beat them one time, the only thing you've done is you've given them all the information, all the data, all the looks that they need to make sure you don't do it again. And you can look at UCLA this season, or just Monday. There's so many ways you can look at this. You go back to the World Series last year, Florida State taking game 1. But all you're doing is you're giving Oklahoma enough information to make sure you don't beat them again. And when you're Texas facing this lineup that's just really on fire right now, I mean, look, you're taking your life in your own hands, so to speak, right? You've got one pitcher that they haven't cracked the code on, or at least they haven't shown that they've cracked the code on. We may learn that's different Wednesday night. And so if you're Mike White, if you're the Texas Longhorns, you're going up against the most potent lineup in college softball right now at the moment. And you got to figure something out. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think Oklahoma sweeps the series. Look, it's the two best teams in the country. Who would have thought? I really, really thought we were heading towards a Bedlam championship series here in Oklahoma City, which would have been a lot of fun. But at least now we don't have to hear everybody talking about it. If it was OU and OSU, we don't have to hear everybody talking about how the Oklahoma schools have the home field advantage because the games are played in Oklahoma City. At least Texas is there now. It's pretty cool. It's an all Big 12 affair one way or the other. But look, I really feel like if this was Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, I think I would have picked this thing to go 3 games. But if it's Oklahoma and Texas, which is what it is, I think it's 2 games. I really do. I think I realize Texas is riding the hot hand. I realize Texas is the Cinderella, right? They're the first unseeded team, not a national seed, to make it this far. They're Cinderella. But honestly, Cinderella makes it to the Final 4. Sometimes Cinderella makes it to the championship. Cinderella doesn't really win at all very often. And I think this, I think clock strikes midnight probably on Thursday for the Texas Longhorns. We got a lot more information, heartland-sports.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Sports Heartland. I would always love and enjoy hearing from you guys. So make sure to hit us up, enjoy the games, and we'll give you a recap later on in the week.
Walk out.